Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this special edition of the 40 Scenes Fire American Soccer Show. The 2017 MLS Cup playoffs are underway, and what an amazing bunch of games we had these past 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday, October the 25th and October the 26th, as the Columbus Crew, the Houston Dynamo, the New York Red Bulls, and the Vancouver Whitecaps advance from the wildcard games to the conference semifinals in their respective conferences, East and or West. And, you know, once again, I know how some people still don't want to see playoffs in MLS, but for now we still have them. But you know what? You have to admit there were some exciting games, some surprising games, some surprising results, some fantastic results, and you know, it just comes down to just, you know, one of those things where you cannot believe what you saw. And when you see something like what happened in Vancouver against the San Jose Earthquakes, you know, and of course what happened with the Red Bulls and the Chicago Fire, if that's not a spanking, I don't know what is, because, you know, that's just unbelievable stuff watching. And when you see the Whitecaps tearing apart San Jose, you're thinking to yourself, this is just unbelievable what's going on. This is incredible of what's going on. And all you can do is just sit back and just watch in amazement what is going on when you have a game the way you had when the Whitecaps just totally destroyed the San Jose Earthquakes. And, you know, you thought that maybe Vancouver was going to run the table in the West, and that didn't happen. They fell down a bit. They tripped themselves up a bit. So what happens? Well, that means that for the Portland Timbers, they snuck in and they took over the top seed in the West. Now, as we continue to look at this whole situation, obviously, what we are seeing is that the New York Red Bulls found a way to pounce early, find a way to dig up that kryptonite out of Toyota Park, and they put a four spot on. 2 goals in 4 minutes from the 7th minute all the way to the 11th. And then, of course, in the 70th minute in the second half, Royer got one to make it 3. Verón made it 4. Late on, like with like 4 minutes remaining in regulation before we can even get to stoppage time. And the New York Red Bulls on a 4-match unbeaten streak in all competitions at Toyota Park. The kryptonite is gone for the Red Bulls over there. But I think the best match we've seen so far, and the best match out of everything in these first 4 games, Atlanta United and the Columbus Crew. You have probably the two best storylines to begin these playoffs. I mean, you're talking about a situation where the expansion side, the top expansion side of 2017, you know, because obviously Minnesota United couldn't do anything for themselves this year. Atlanta United was absolutely answering the bell, you know, stepped up at the door, kicked the door down, and they were able to show why that they're young, exciting, and a lot of fun. And all you can say is that this is a team in Atlanta United, definitely with a lot of heavy hitters, not just within the U.S., but of course internationally, mostly from South America, like Villalba, like Almiron. They have proven themselves to be a force to be reckoned with when it comes to league play. Playoffs now it's a little bit of a different animal. And I think they did run out of gas, because you can tell at times they just weren't staying the course, you know, mentally, physically. They've never played a long season like this, you know, a grueling season like this. Some of them haven't done it in a long time. Some haven't done it at all. And let's not forget that in Argentina, they have the spring and fall seasons. They only play a certain amount of games from a certain point to from a certain point to begin the season until the end of the season. And also the physicality of MLS. So for Atlanta United, they just ran out of gas. And here you have the Columbus Crew going through turmoil, going through an absolute disgraceful period, not by the players, of course, and not by their coaching staff, not by Berhalter, not by anyone that is on the field. It's all coming from ownership, obviously, with Anthony Precourt. And I think that's the one thing that I truly believe that is the situation on this Columbus Crew team. The truth of the matter is this. It's just been an absolute terrible time seeing what's going on with the Crew. And, you know, all you can say is that the situation is still a bit dire. It's still a bit dire, but you want to see the Columbus Crew find a way to go out and hopefully, everything remains the same. Everything's going on, and you just hope that there's going to be something special here for everyone in Columbus, that they still have their club, which they will till the end of 2018, obviously. But still, though, it's been tough for everyone. Now, I know this is not the regular show. This is our review show for the playoffs. But I want to pass this along to you. And this is from Twitter. This is from the Twitter account of Mr. Michael. And if I apologize if I butcher his last name, I don't mean to, but hopefully I get this right. Arasi, however you pronounce it, I don't know. He has retweeted from Alex Fisher, president and CEO of the Columbus Partnership, which is working to keep the Crew in Columbus. And this is what Mr. Fisher said. Despite our owner and the front office of the MLS abandoning us, all of our Crew Nation, fans, players, and this entire community kept the faith and stayed strong. This team never quit, and neither will our community. Grateful to the entire soccer world for supporting us in this fight to keep the Crew where it belongs. We could not be more proud of this team and our entire community. I know everyone will be ready after tonight's huge win to welcome the Crew back home to the city where they belong, and Columbus does an amazing job winning the penalty kick shootout by a final of 3-1. After going 0-0 through regulation and extra time. It was absolutely fantastic to see what is going on here. And you see, Mr. Arasi is a sports columnist for the Columbus Dispatch. So, you know, it's just a lot of craziness going on. And hopefully this, I just want to believe that the crew are going to remain in Columbus. We'll see what happens, obviously. And it's just unbelievable, all the stuff that's happening. And, you know, the crew will now face New York City FC. You know, decent match, I think, between Sporting Kansas City and Houston. And then you get that big goal at the early part of extra time to make it 1-0 for the Dynamo. And that's all she wrote. Sporting Kansas City. And, you know, when you don't have Tamelia in goal, usually that's not a big deal. But still, though, when Tamelia is that good of a keeper and he's done a great job position-wise in his area, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, you know that they were missing him desperately. And sadly, Sporting Kansas City, their attempts at a double did not happen. So all I can say is that this is the situation that we're all excited about, moving on to the next round of playoff matches. The conference semifinals are set, and boy, oh boy, this is going to be absolutely incredible. Vancouver Whitecaps versus Seattle Sounders, Pacific Northwest Part 1 happening right here. Also, Houston Dynamo against the Portland Timbers. And then, of course, in the East, Columbus Crew versus New York City FC and the New York Red Bulls against Toronto FC. We'll see what happens when we get to these big, big playoff matches. Because I'm telling you right now, what we have here is an absolutely fantastic time, fantastic moments, and I am ready to go. I cannot wait to get this thing going. This is going to be a fantastic playoffs. And we are seeing probably some of the top clubs already in MLS ready to fight it out, ready to duke it out. And I think we got ourselves some pretty good moments here. Got some pretty good playoffs. So that's the situation we are in. And just get ready to have some fun. That's all you can say. That's all you can do. And let's just have some fun, guys, because I'm telling you right now, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be awesome. And we got ourselves, a pretty good moment here. So we'll see what happens as we continue on and deep into this playoff run. It should be exciting. It should be a lot of fun. I personally cannot wait. My guests tonight, I'm going to have on some SB Nation colleagues from Dynamo Fury. Miss Alicia Tolar will be joining me to talk about the Dynamo's victory over Sporting Kansas City. Of course, talking about what is going on with Vancouver and San Jose. But my first guest could not come on live, unfortunately, but we did record the interview, is another SB Nation colleague from the Massive Report that does cover the Columbus Crew. And I'm grateful to have on this recording Mr. Alex Stanek, part of the Massive Report podcast. So here is that interview, and enjoy it, folks. Daniel Feuerstein here. Once again, the American Soccer Show wild card review in MLS playoff action. And what a wild card matchup it was down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium as the Columbus Crew and Atlanta United, after 0-0 through regulation, 0-0 through extra time, it was the penalty kick shootout that Columbus survived, defeating the expansion side Atlanta United by a final of 3-1. Joining me from the Massive Report podcast of SB Nation, one of my colleagues of SB Nation, of course, but he's on the podcast, Alex Stanek joining me. Alex, welcome aboard, and how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. Still trying to wrap my head around what happened last night, but great evening, great game, and happy to be here.
I got to tell you, like we've already said off the air, Atlanta has always been talked about as probably the greatest expansion team ever in MLS, and obviously there's always those Chicago 98 team that's always going to trump that. But still, though, when you're seeing almost 60 to 70,000 soccer fans at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in downtown Atlanta, Georgia, that's just an unbelievable moment for them. But you know what's even a bigger moment? How the Columbus Crew has been able to go down to Atlanta, just basically ignore the noise, and pulling out probably one of the best playoff victories in the club's history.
It was fantastic. The players had said before the game, and they said after the game, that that they were very motivated to go down there and get that result for the fans in Columbus. They were riding a really long unbeaten streak. I think it was 10 games unbeaten going into that game. And one of the most informed teams in the league, Zach Steffen, had a fantastic game. He said after the game that he really wanted to shut up those 60,000 fans who were making a ton of noise and just wanted to kind of silence them a little bit. But with everything going on in Columbus, the team, of course, can't talk about anything. But I think they were really motivated to put smiles on Columbus Crew fan faces, and they absolutely did that last night.
Let me ask you a question. Obviously, you had Steve Clark, who is your goalkeeper, a very good goalkeeper. Positioning has been fantastic whenever he played for Columbus. Obviously, he's with DC United now. But Zach Steffen, what I saw from him, not just a lanky and a good tall keeper, but, you know, very athletic. You rarely see tall, lanky keepers being that athletic. But, you know, from what I've seen from Steffen, he's matured to a point where I think, you know, he is going to be a great starter for Columbus. Hopefully, you know, Anthony Precourt does change his mind and leaves the club in Columbus. But still, though, Steffen's been unbelievable.
He really has, and the growth over the season that we've seen from him is really tremendous. When Steve Clark left Columbus, there were some people who were doubting, are we really ready to hand the keys over to this kid? He had been out on loan with the Pittsburgh Riverhounds for most of last season, kind of bounced around affiliate clubs a little bit, been training with a number of different teams. But he was still kind of a raw product, very, very athletic. Footwork needed a little bit, positioning needed a little bit of work as well. But the growth over the last season that we've seen from him is really remarkable. And for his age, I think he's one of the best goalkeepers in the country. Given the fact that the United States are in the situation they are, national team-wise, I think he should be in the conversation going forward for potential call-ups. I don't think he's starting material yet, but I think he's someone who should be kind of in that discussion as a potential future U.S. national team goalkeeper. He's got all the attributes he needs to be a very successful keeper at Major League Soccer level, and to have the kind of composure and the kind of athleticism that he has at his age, I think the sky's the limit for him.
No, I agree with you, and I think he does deserve those discussions about him being on the national team. I truly believe that he deserves at least a mention here and there, the way he has played in goal so far for Columbus. But I will say this, though. I will say that, you know, there's going to be a lot of talented keepers, not just for the national team within MLS, but, of course, those keepers that are playing abroad. We'll see what happens, and hopefully Steffen will get his opportunity. Let's go to that penalty kick shootout. Obviously, Atlanta didn't look, in my mind, I'm not saying Steffen psyched them out or anything like that. I think Atlanta kind of shot themselves in the foot on a couple of penalties here and there. But still, though,
the way Stefan stepped up in the shootout, Gressel got stopped. That was unbelievable. Leandro Gonzalez Pires, I can't believe how he messed up that penalty so badly right at Stefan. It's like, didn't he know that Stefan's like right in front of him?
The whole penalty shootout was really interesting. I think Stefan was in their head before that even happened. On the first penalty stop, Stefan said after the game that he had read the hips of the shooter and was able to kind of line up where he was going to place the shot based on that, which I thought was interesting. But Stefan seemed to be kind of in their minds a little bit. He had stopped everything they had thrown at him and just had a fantastic game. So they did not seem to be taking great penalties throughout the entire shootout. And then when you had Federico Higuain take the chip on the second penalty.
Oh, that was brilliant.
I thought at that point, okay, we're going to have to really mess this thing up in order to not win.
Yeah.
And then they ended up getting the job done, and it was absolutely unbelievable. We had bars full of people all around Columbus that were going absolutely insane. Thankfully, we had some national media in town. Rob Stone was here, and he posted a bunch of videos from it. We definitely did appreciate that because we are definitely trying to get out the word about Save the Crew and the website and all that good stuff. So,
yeah,
PR for us is great. So the win honestly was just as much of an importance off the field as it was on the field, which is kind of a strange situation to find ourselves in. But that's what the last week or so has given us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about. I've had Patrick Gouldon, who is the head editor of Massive Report through SB Nation. Of course, as you know, I'm with Once a Metro. That's also with SB Nation. I had him on my show Monday, obviously talking about it. And, you know, what is going on in Columbus right now, of course, it's all gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching to see how this city, that, which, of course, is the capital of the state of Ohio, which is Columbus, Ohio, to see what you're going through and should never have been going through in the first place. And obviously, you know, the hope is that they do make a big run as long as they can, and we'll see what happens. But obviously next season could be even bigger. We'll see what happens. But, you know, there's an opportunity now for Columbus to have one of those runs again. Obviously, 2015 was a big run for Columbus, getting to the final, hosting the final, sadly losing to the Timbers over at then Columbus Crew Stadium. But what, in your mind, does Greg Berhalter need to do to get... Not, we know that he can motivate them, and that's not an issue. But what does he need to do to make sure that this side continues to go the way they are?
I think they just need to be doing what they're doing. I think when you look at our record right now, I think we're either 11... I believe we're 11 games unbeaten. We might be 10, but I believe now... After Atlanta, I think we're 11 games unbeaten. They just got to keep rolling. And these players are in great form. They're highly motivated. The fans are behind them 110%. It's really hard to kind of express the mindset of a Columbus Crew fan right now, but I was describing it to another friend last night, saying we're almost like a cornered animal right now. And so the amount of passion that's coming out from the Crew fan base is just, I've never seen anything like it. So they are going to go to Moffray Stadium on Tuesday, and they are going to be in one of the most intense atmospheres that I think has ever been in that stadium. I think it's going to be kind of a Dos Acero type of atmosphere. I think people are going to be really, really wound up and passionate. So they're going to have the fans behind them 110%. The coach just has to keep them on their toes, keep them kind of grounded, keep them ready to play, and I think we can get a good result here in Columbus and then go out to New York and get the job done.
Now, let me ask you about New York City FC. Obviously, that's your next opponent. You're going to be hosting the first leg at Mapfre Stadium, and then, of course, you're going to head over probably to Yankee Stadium for the second leg. What is it about New York City FC that does put I would probably say a scare, because so far in their third season, they are, you know, that talented, that good, and we all know about David Villa and how he can take the game upon himself and just get to will a victory for his side. What's worrying you about NYCFC right now?
Well, you just said it. David Villa is an incredible talent, has been an incredible talent for his entire career. He can make something out of nothing in a lot of cases. You give him half a chance and he's going to turn it into a goal. So that's a concern. I also would say going to Yankee Stadium, that's a tough place to play for the Columbus Crew. We like to spread play out, hit people, quick counterattacks, things of that nature. And playing on that small field on Yankee Stadium really kind of doesn't give us the space that we want to play the kind of passing, attacking style of soccer that Greg Berhalter is known for. So playing away is really going to be the challenge. And then at home, you have to watch David Villa all the time. One mistake from any player, and that could end up being a goal. So those are my main concerns, Villa at home and then the field size away.
I mean, this is going to be the biggest task that Berhalter is going to have in this first leg, because you got to make sure you prevent the away goal from being scored upon against you guys. And even though you could get a result here, that away goal could be the backbreaker for Columbus in that second leg.
Yeah, absolutely. And we had problems with center defenders earlier in the season. Tried a lot of different combinations. Tried Nikolai Ness with Jonathan Mensah. Didn't really work. Tried a lot of different things. In the last 3 months or so, we've pretty much settled on Josh Williams, former Columbus Crew player, former Toronto FC player, paired with our DP, Jonathan Mensah, who in the first half of the season was incredibly shaky. A lot of people were saying he should be benched, actually.
Hmm.
Really did not adjust well to Major League Soccer, had a really tough time, made mistakes on a fairly regular basis. In the last few months, he has been incredibly solid. He's perhaps, some people are saying, he's now our best designated player. People are saying he has more of an impact than Federico Higuain, which is about as big of a compliment as any Crew player can ever give to someone. So he has done a very, very good job and has really kind of built a chemistry with Josh Williams. And hopefully that partnership can continue and they can get the job done against David Villa in New York City.
Alex, thank you very much. I'll talk to you later on. Enjoy your day, and I will talk to you soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Alex Stanek, member of the Massive Report podcast crew, talking about, of course, this huge penalty kick shootout victory for the Crew as they outlast and defeat Atlanta United by a final of 3-1 after going 0-0 through regulation and 0-0 through extra time. So for Atlanta United, let me just say this quickly for Atlanta United. You know, they made the playoffs. And, you know, this is, in my book, it's a successful season for Atlanta United because, you know, the amazing things they've done this year and some of the stuff that they were able to do on the field has just been nothing short but miracles, absolute miracles, and it was miraculous. I couldn't believe it. And it has to be said that for Atlanta United – and what Tata Martino has done, this is a team to be reckoned with in the future. There's no doubt in my mind that this team is going to be sensational down the road. And who knows what they'll be able to win, how they'll win it, and when or why it's going to happen. But one day it's going to happen. And I really think that they have done a marvelous job of getting everyone in Atlanta to go to their games, not just Bobby Dodd Stadium on the campus of Georgia Tech, but also at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They opened up the whole thing. And, you know, I think even though they lost, and obviously if you're an Atlanta fan, you're hoping they would win. But I still think this is a great, great example of what Atlanta United could do in the future in MLS. So, you know, I tip my hat off to everyone in Atlanta, everyone in Atlanta United. I really think that they're going to have a successful future. It all depends on when and if they will win either MLS Cup or the U.S. Open Cup. So it's going to be one of those things where we're just going to have to wait and see what's going to happen when we have these wonderful moments together when Atlanta United is ready to go. So, you know, you just got to say for Atlanta United, it's absolutely a great thing to see. But joining me right now over in Houston, Texas, she is the managing editor of Dynamo Theory, of course, an SB Nation colleague of mine as well. Miss Alicia Tolar has joined me to talk about the 1-0 victory in extra time by the Houston Dynamo. Alicia, thank you for coming on the show, and how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you tonight?
Very well. Thank you very much. So it was a very, very exciting match, of course. Houston were able to pull out the 1-goal victory against Sporting Kansas City. Of course, Tim Melio's injured. Don't know if he was actually in goal for that one, which I believe he wasn't because of the injury. But still, though,
it wasn't.
That's what I thought. So it was Andrew Dykstra. So, you know, once again, just a match where you have to say that the Dynamo were absolutely looking to find a way to strike that opening goal, but it didn't come early enough. It came late.
It would have been nice if they'd scored it about 4 minutes earlier so we didn't end up having to go through extra time, but nonetheless, I was happy they eventually managed to score a goal and win the game. Because SKC definitely controlled quite a bit of the match. You know, Houston's been really powerful off of the counterattack this year, and I think teams have kind of figured out to some large degree that if you can stifle the counterattack, you have a much better chance against the Dynamo right now.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. But I have to say this, though. I give the Dynamo a lot of credit. I mean, Graham Zuzi, Matt Beisler, Benny Feilharber, Latif Blessing, Gerso Fernandez, even Roger Espinoza. I mean, these are guys that are basically the heavy hitters on Sporting Kansas City that can change a game in a heartbeat. And the Dynamo's defense just did an absolutely fantastic job of keeping them off the score sheet, or at least to get any form of chances whatsoever.
Absolutely. We were without A.J. De La Garza because he tore his ACL in the last game of the season, which was a huge concern going in for us because he's been huge for us at right back all season long. And our defense isn't always the best. A lot of times it comes down to Tyler Garrick, you know, making, you know, mind-blowingly amazing saves in goal, which, you know, he did have some good saves last night, but they didn't test him quite as much as I thought he might end up being tested. The team as a whole did a really good job with, even though Sporting controlled possession, they still didn't get too many chances in front of goal. They had a lot of shots, but not necessarily very many on target or that really tested Tyler Garrick, which was great.
No, absolutely. And why not? You know, Tyler Garrick has been one of those top-notch keepers ever since I think Tally Hall moved to Orlando. But still, though, you know, Garrick has just been an incredible goalkeeper for Houston. He's always kept the Dynamo in the games. It doesn't matter who he's facing against. And I have to ask this question, obviously, but ever since Philip Senderos came over from Europe to play for the Dynamo, has he been what you thought he could do, or it's been lacking at times? Because, I mean, I don't want to make it like, you know, his age or anything, but, you know, questioning how he has played, of course. We'd like to know, how's he been doing so far?
Honestly, he hasn't played in too many games for the Dynamo. I feel like he's only played in a handful of games, and it seems like every time he plays, he leaves the game injured, or at some point he goes down and we're like, oh, he's injured again. You know, so he's actually missed some time due to injury. Like, he'll play one game and then he'll be out for three because of injury. So I would definitely say, and especially signing as a designated player, he's been a disappointment because we haven't seen him in very many games. And, you know, the Dynamo as a whole have been tricky this season because Wilmer has come out with a different lineup every game pretty much this season. I don't know if we've had two of the same lineups all year long. I know we haven't had any back-to-back games where we've had the same lineup 2 weeks in a row, which makes it really hard for guys to find a rhythm and really figure out how to play with each other. So they've had that huge challenge with, and there's been relatively few injuries to cause that.
Yeah.
But he's been one who has been out with injuries. He's, I don't think anyone in Houston would be sad to see him leave after this season. He just hasn't really, you know, he's just kind of felt more like a liability than a help, you know. With, I mean, he's made some good plays, but it seems like the bad plays are the ones that tend to stick in your mind more when it comes to him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing I think that's the biggest question mark from him coming over at the age he is right now. Maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, I mean, maybe he would have been a lot better for the Dynamo if they were looking for him then, if he wanted to move over here then. Now, I agree with you. I just think that he's a liability and he's just leaving too much space for his markers, and they're finding easy ways to pass the ball away from him or getting a shot on goal.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
But even at that, I mean, I don't feel like you can completely chalk it up to age. But at the same time, we have Vicente Sanchez, who's getting pretty close to 40, and he's been, like, one of our best players this season once he started getting into games. Like, he's been amazing to watch. Like, honestly, when we signed him, we were all kind of like, eh, he's old, you know, what is he going to be able to do? And he's ended up being one of our top players, for sure. You know, like, if he's not starting, you know, he's definitely the player that we're always wanting to see subbed into games. Like, fans get excited to see him in the game, which is a little unusual for an older player like that. You wouldn't necessarily expect it as much. But he's amazing. You know, he's been really, really good for us.
That's
and
just
he's fun
one
to
I,
watch,
you know. Oh, I bet it is. I mean, you know, you never know when someone like wants to take it seriously and give it a shot, and there he is, like probably the oldest man on the field, and he does a great job. Talk about the goal, of course, from Albert Ells. Ells. Is it Ells or Ellis? Because I know there's only one
Elise.
L.
Yep. Elise.
Elise, thank you so much.
Yep.
But, you know, right place at the right time, not really marked that strong, but still, though, wide open and able to tuck that home. How about that killer pass? That was unbelievable.
I think it was a really great example of what Sanchez has done for us when he's been on the field. It hasn't always resulted in goals, but he does just make some amazing plays to get the ball down the field, and he has amazing vision of getting either Elise or Kyoto open. Like, he sees it, and it's been a huge help because that has been a major weak link for us the last couple seasons, is the connection between our midfield and our forwards. That, for me, was always an issue with Will Bruin, who he can be really great, but he's got to have someone feeding him the ball. He's not a creator, but he's a great scorer if you get him the ball. So for me, that has been something that Sanchez has done really well that the team had really been needing. And then, obviously, he's scored a couple times, you know, himself, so he's also capable of scoring as well. But the link-up play has been really great. And having Elise and Kyoto has been huge for the Dynamo this season. Both of those players have really improved the Dynamo's chances when it comes to scoring when they're on the field.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, you still have a couple more games remaining in this season, depending on what happens with your next opponent, before we even talk about them. In your mind, what have you liked or disliked about Wilmer Cabrera so far for the Dynamo? As far as I've seen, I think he's done a great job. He's definitely gotten his players to believe in the system that he's trying to provide and believe in his tactics. Mm-hmm. What are the things you liked about Wilmer, and what are the things you don't like about it?
I think he's done a great job putting together a solid team, you know, all the way from goalkeeper, you know, defenders, midfield, forwards, and really bringing in some great lesser-known talent, obviously, like with Elise and Kyoto. But at the same time, he doesn't always make the best decisions in-game. A lot of times we're left scratching our heads as far as late-game subs and when he chooses to use his substitutes in-game. You know, sometimes, you know, we kind of wonder, well, maybe if he'd made that sub earlier, we could have scored earlier. You know, what if Sanchez had gone to the game earlier? Maybe we could have scored more in the game against SKC and not ended up in extra time. some decisions like that, and then going back to the fact that he changes the lineup every week. Again, it's just hard for the players to create a chemistry and really get to know each other on the field in a game situation if you're continually doing that. And I think it shows a lot of the times, especially the first 15 minutes of our games. If you watch, there's a lot of passes that are just a little off, they don't quite get to each other. And it, to me, that's just that edge of him not having the same people playing in the same positions week in and week out. But he got to the playoffs, so it's hard to rag on him too much with what he's done, considering we were pretty much, we were fighting for dead last in the league this time last year. So it's hard to complain too much about what he's done with this team in such a short amount of time.
No, I agree with you. I mean, that would be a little short-sighted, obviously, but I think that so far, you have every right to, go out there and just say, I don't like it, but he got us out of the, he got us into the playoffs and they won their game, so that's good enough for me. You're taking on the Portland Timbers, and obviously the Timbers are former MLS Cup champions of 2 years ago, and Portland, there's been some question marks during the year. They found a way to win the West in the regular season, and is this the thing you're worried about? You're worried about the MLS Cup champion Timbers coming in, or are you more at ease that you'll see the Timbers, who've had like really a bad streak at the beginning of the year before they found ways to just click and go on a run?
Well, we actually lost to them 4-2 at the beginning of the year when they were really bad, so. I don't know how we would do against that team. Having them come in, I am glad that it now switches to a home and away format, because if we were having to play only away matches from here on out, I don't think the team would get past the next round. Having home and away now definitely benefits the Dynamo. I'm not super concerned about Monday. I think that they definitely I think they'll probably come out with a win, maybe a draw. My bigger concern is the follow-up game where they have to go to Portland and play there, because the Dynamo have been atrocious on the road all season long. They've only managed one win on the road, which was against DC United. And since we are looking at continuing to be without AJ, there's definitely some concern with our defense being able to shut down the talent that Portland has in front of goal. Because even with, we did come away with a draw against them at home this summer. And even at that, we barely came away with a draw. We almost lost to them at home. So there's definitely still some concern at home, even at that, up against this team.
Yeah. I can understand where you're coming from, because these are the playoffs and anything unpredictable can happen. And believe me, I've seen that unpredictability so many years in the past. It's not even funny. And hopefully for Houston, they'll finally come away with a series win. And of course, the winners will either be Vancouver or Seattle. So, so what do you think? Do you think they got enough to make an upset here in this particular round against Portland? You think they are able to do that?
If they score a lot at home on Monday, I think they can do it. But if they don't jump out and get some goals in the bank, so to speak, I don't see them coming away with much, if anything, against Portland in Portland. So it's a little tricky. I have a hard time seeing us moving past this round. I would love to be wrong on that. but it'll be really tough for them to make it out, I think. Again, I think a lot of it'll come down to the defense. If anything, I wouldn't be surprised if we do manage to come away. It'll definitely be because of Tyler Derrick. He's definitely preserved the record that we had, and is probably the reason we made it to the playoffs and ended up winning as many games as we did. So it'll definitely be, unfortunately, on him quite a bit for us to make it past this round and any further. But hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully they'll just annihilate him and I'll look like an idiot. I would much rather that.
No problem at all. Alicia, listen, thank you very much for joining me tonight. Good luck in the Western Conference semis. No problem at all. And you're welcome very much. And have a good evening. Hope to get you back on again soon.
Awesome. Sounds good. Have a good one.
Thank you, you too. And that's Alicia Tolar, managing editor of The Dynamo Theory, as once again, the Houston Dynamo advances to the Western Conference semifinals, and we'll see what they do against the Portland Timbers, as that'll be their next opponent. And the Pacific Northwest, they already have three teams in here. Of course, Vancouver Whitecaps. I mean, what can you say about the Whitecaps? Absolutely destroying the San Jose Earthquakes by a final of 5-0. What can you say? But you just got to be amazed at what you saw. And it's just been unbelievable. Unbelievable what they have been able to accomplish so far this season. And once again, it's just been miraculous what the Whitecaps have done. I mean, it looked like they weren't going to have a good year. But once again, they played the underdog card, the underdog role, and off they went. I mean, you know, great goal by Freddie Montero to make it 1-0. And then, of course, Christian Teixeira in the second half, 57th minute, made it 2-0 on a glorious, glorious free kick bomb. And then Kendall Watson made it 3-0. And Nicholas Mizqueda gets a brace in the 78th and 80th minutes to make it 5-0 for Vancouver. And, of course, BC Place was jumping. They went absolutely bonkers at a 5-0 victory for the Vancouver Whitecaps, as they will now take on the Seattle Sounders in the Western Conference semifinals. The first leg will be over in BC Place. Actually, yep, the first leg will be in BC Place. Seattle is a point. That's the funny thing. Portland, 53 points. Seattle in second place with 53 points. And Vancouver in third place with 52 points. So Pacific Northwest rivalry number one between Seattle and Vancouver. And then, of course, Portland taking on the Houston Dynamo. And we'll see what will happen. Portland will take on either Vancouver or Seattle. So that's going to be an interesting moment there. We'll see what happens. But obviously, it's just one of those things where it's been difficult at times. But once again, these are the games that really matter. These are the games that really, really do mean a lot. And these are the games that you have to look at when you're advancing into the next round, which is the semifinals of the conference of the conferences in MLS and these MLS Cup playoffs. So we'll see what happens there as we keep on moving along. Let's go ahead now and talk about the New York Red Bulls. And obviously, Red Bull supporters, that's a huge victory, 4-0 over the Chicago Fire. Now, for those of you that are not familiar with the Red Bulls and their issues playing in Chicago, especially at Toyota Park, that's a place that's been a house of horrors for the New York Red Bulls. Complete house of horrors. I mean, we're talking about absolutely dreadful. Ever since that building was finished, ever since they built that damn monstrosity, the New York Red Bulls have only won once there. Once. And that's bad enough as it is. It's just an absolutely a terrible, terrible place for this Red Bulls team to go out and get a victory. of any kind. All I can say is that, you know, it's just been terrible that they can't get anything going. They just cannot get anything going. And it's just one of those things where you pray to God. You pray to God, if you're a Red Bull supporter, that you can just go out and get 3 points of any kind. But sadly, it never ever happens until that one day, that one time, where you see the Red Bulls finally winning that supporter shield. That was their first and only victory in regular season play. That's it. And then all of a sudden, now in this one, big goals, big goals from Bradley Wright Phillips, Sasha Kleistjen, Daniel Royer, and now, of course, Gonzalo Varon coming off the bench. It's just been unreal and unbelievable what we have seen from a Red Bull side that was basically total domination in this matchup. I mean, there were times where Chicago made it interesting. There were some times where Chicago actually attacked and found ways to break through, but they couldn't get anything on net. Couldn't do a thing. And it's just one of those things where, hey, if they're not able to put one into the back of the net, then you frustrated them enough to say that you were the better side and you were able to get over there and you were able to get the full 3 points. So that's all you can really worry about. That's all you can think about. And for the New York Red Bulls, they did a great job. Absolutely a great, great job in frustrating the Chicago Fire, who had a great year. But at the end of the day, it was basically Chicago 0, the New York Red Bulls 4. So let's go ahead and play some audio now, Red Bull supporters. Here is Jesse Marsh.
Yeah, it certainly helped. We knew that a good start was going to be important. We knew that Chicago was very good when they score first and not very good when they concede first. So we knew that that was going to be vital, and, you know, our team was ready. And, you know, I could sense it. I could sense that our team was ready to go. I could see the confidence within the group. I could see the clarity. So, you know, I was excited to see it, but I wasn't surprised. You know, and then I thought that we had to manage certain parts of the game, and you know, we survived the moments of the beginning of the second half. But then, you know, we knew then if we could find a way to be dangerous and create a third, that would mean that the game would be done. So we hung on and did that, and then, you know, obviously a big victory for our team and for our club, and very happy for our guys.
Jesse, talk a little bit about the play of Tyler Adams tonight. He was obviously flying up and down that sideline, created the second goal.
I feel like I talk about Tyler a lot these days. You know, we see him maturing and growing up and developing right before our eyes. It's a source of pride for everyone in the team, and our belief in Tyler is at the highest level. So, I thought that he dominated that wing. He covered ground. He was dangerous moving forward. I mean, he won all of his duels, aerial duels, battles, foot races, tackles. He was sharp on the ball. Fantastic. So, big night for him. And I think, you know, he has so much energy in the game that our team feeds off of it. So, really good for him.
Hey, Jesse. Paul Tenorio.
Hey, Paul.
Good. Pulling back a little bit from that Dax play that everyone talks about, that was kind of, for you, an emphasis on
playing young players. It's a philosophy that you told me was a Red Bull philosophy here, Salzburg, Leipzig.
Yeah.
How much, considering the ups and downs of this year, is this win and moving forward in the playoffs a validation that betting on those young players and having faith in those young players and that idea is the right way forward?
Well, it's our way. You know, it doesn't necessarily make it the right way. It's just our way. This is what we believe in. And you're right. It's widespread. It's not just New York Red Bulls. It's not just me. It's how we all think about the game together. We haven't really achieved anything yet, you know? So I don't want to talk about validations or anything. There's a lot more work to be done. It's a big win, and we feel really good about it. But, you know, we've got to really quickly switch our brains and minds and look forward to Toronto and make sure that we're ready for an incredibly tough series against one of the best teams in league history. So, you know, we believe in what we do. We believe in who we are. But you know, it's not time to start congratulating ourselves. That's for sure.
Jesse, John Wilkinson, you know, you mentioned feeling like you guys were ready to go and then you get your first two goals from two of your stars. How much does that come from the top down from those guys coming out and setting that tone?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Sasha and Brad are massive for our team in the attacking part of the field. They're just their savviness, their ease, their cleverness, their lethal ability to play around the goal. Their leadership, in all ways, they've been the cornerstone of what we do. So, you know, obviously they get on the board early and they really get us going. Reminded me a little bit of even the Supporters Shield game we had here. In that game, we couldn't get the third goal, and so we had to hang on at the end. So we made an emphasis of being very disciplined and organized in the second half, and then, you know, as they were going to continue to push at the third and fourth goal would come. But we also, I will say, Luis had to make a big save and make a bunch of big plays. So, you know, we had a leader on the other end and step up and help us make sure we could keep a clean sheet. So, yeah, those guys, I think, have grown into incredible leaders and incredible men. And they certainly are a big piece, and they really lead what we do. It's great. I'm lucky to have guys like that. It's a pleasure to coach them, and they want it as much as any players I've ever seen.
Jesse, you had the opportunity, because of you guys being in six, to rest some starters on the weekend where Chicago was coming in on short rest. How much do you think that played a factor tonight, or do you think it was more just the mentality of the group coming in?
Yeah, I think it probably had a little bit of a factor, but you would have thought that it would have been – you could see that at the end of the game that we still had some legs, and maybe they didn't. But to get out in the early lead, I think, was about mentality and approach. And our guys were fearless. They were aggressive. They didn't worry about if plays weren't going to go their way. There was a confidence on the field. And there's a quiet calmness with this group that I think is palpable. So, you know, I just got to continue to find ways to enforce certain things and almost stay out of the way. So that'll be my goal moving forward.
Jesse, you know, looking ahead early to Toronto, you know, a team that you haven't beaten that beat you last time out, how important is that to start at home, that series, and what do you guys need to do to change things?
Yeah, we, you know, in the playoffs in my years here, we've always been the higher seed, so we've always had to go on the road first. We'll get to try it this way. And you could make an argument that having the home game first sets the tone for the series, so it's time to, you know, put our money where our mouth is. Toronto's a very good team. The reason why we haven't beaten them is because they're a good team. And they played very well against us at Red Bull Arena. We were lucky to get out of there with a draw. And then actually up in Toronto, I thought we played very well and were a little bit unlucky to give up two late goals the way we did. So, we know them well. We respect them massively. I think Greg Vanney's done a great job. They obviously, their DPs dictate everything they do. I think, Michael Bradley's been the MVP of the league this year. So it'll be an incredibly big challenge, but one that I know we will be up for. One that we will be really excited for, and we will be ready to go.
And that's Jesse Marsh, head coach of the New York Red Bulls, as he discusses the 4-0 victory over the Chicago Fire as he's getting ready for the Eastern Conference semifinals against Toronto FC. The goalkeeper that provided the 4-0 clean sheet, Luis Robles.
Playoff game of the season.
Well, more importantly, we got the win. We're advancing to the next one. The clean sheet, of course, is nice, but I think even if they would have scored, the disappointment in that is it wouldn't necessarily reflect how well we played defensively. And so looking at the clean sheet, it really allowed us to make a statement that we took care of the golden boot score this year. We limited his opportunities, and we got our goals early. So that put him in a difficult situation right away. And it's always nice to get a nice little two-goal cushion 10 minutes into the game. But defensively, we're solid tonight.
Talk to us about the altercation there on that double save. What happened with Jeremy?
Yeah, I swear, I wasn't trying to make contact with anyone. I have a very tender Achilles. And I felt like someone was going to land or kick me, and I just was trying to make sure that nothing happened to my Achilles. So that's what I was trying to communicate with the ref. I didn't know if I kicked anyone. I don't know who was behind me. The only thought in my mind is don't let anything, like, fall on my Achilles.
When you look ahead to Toronto, coming up, what do you think he's doing against the team? I'm in the middle, but I can't get goals against anybody. What do you look at defensively that you need to do for that?
Well, we have some time to prepare. I know it's not a lot of time, but I know the coaching staff is probably on it already. We know that offensively they're going to be tough. Giovinco, Josie, they're a handful, and then you look at the guys who feed them the ball, and it's not easy to be aware of these guys at all time, but that's going to be the trick, is if we can maintain the same sort of positional awareness, maintain our rest defense, which allows us to continue to press up the field to get chances. We know it's going to be a tough one, but nonetheless, why not? You know, at this point, the amount of playoff experience I have, I figure if we're going to do this thing, you might as well play against the best, because I don't know. It's just a different state mentally right now. Like, all right, whatever. Whoever's next will play, instead of posturing and looking to see who we're going to play.
Jesse was talking about a quiet, calm, confident in the team right now. What do you think about that? Is there a way to put
that? Maybe we're just emotionally drained from September. September was the Open Cup final, right? No, I think there is a confidence right now with the group, and it starts at the top and goes all the way to the end. The sort of effort that we put out today shows that confidence, at least from a playing standpoint. But in the locker room, there's an ease to the guys right now, and I think a lot of that can go back to the way that we handled the US Open Cup. Because of the way that ended, we feel like there's unfinished business, but we're not in a panic because we've been through this before. And I like to think, or at least attribute our confidence to that.
Luis Robles talking about that match. I just wanted to say about Robles real quick is that I was a little disappointed in the play that was in the second half where he makes the save on the shot that came towards him. The ball got deflected on the clearance to hit the crossbar, and he went to grab for it, and he did. The attacker, I don't think it was Solniak. I think it was somebody else. I forgot who it was. It definitely was not Nikolic, but he was trying to bump Luis Robles, and he didn't make enough contact on him, but he went down. And, I mean, I take it, benefit of the doubt, but still, I felt Robles tried to kick the Chicago player after he went down, and I think he's lucky enough that, A, he didn't really make much contact, even though if he made a little contact, it's tough. But, you got to be careful when stuff like that's going on, because you don't want to have your starting keeper suspended for the opening match of the semifinals at Red Bull Arena. You want Robles in goal. You want him there. And you want him to be, your wall. So all I can say is that, he was very lucky that he didn't get a red card on that one. And he's very, very lucky
Luis Robles that he wasn't suspended for the opening match. Not saying I don't trust Ryan Mara. I do. But the truth is that, you know, he's your starting keeper, and he's the one that you believe in to go out there and to provide a victory. So that's all you got to really say about that. And just be grateful and thankful that he was not sent off in that one, or else that would have been a huge, huge problem. Last audio of the night, of course, Daniel Royer scoring that final nail in the coffin on the Chicago Fire. Here's his brief words.
What kind of a message do you think a performance like this sends to the rest of the remaining teams in the East about your chances?
I don't know. I don't really care, to be honest, because I just feel really good about the performance today, and I feel really good about the team. And yeah, and in some kind of way, it was a message. We're ready, we're there, and we'll be prepared for tomorrow. And yeah, we should just continue like that.
Talk to us about the confidence level of the team right now.
Yeah, I mean, it should be high. If you come to Chicago, they played a good season. And if you win 4-0, shutout, and some goals, that's a good sign. And of course, our confidence level should be really high now.
Talk to us about your goal.
Yeah, I mean, I just got the ball from Brad and saw Sean Davis make a run. And then, I don't know, it just kind of happened. I played to Sean, and he played me a great ball back so that I could turn and make a finish. But, yeah, big credit to Sean for the assist.
And that is Daniel Royer talking about, and I don't blame him, doesn't care about what anyone else thinks. You know, all he cares about is what their side did. And they did the job they had to do. And that was to go to Toyota Park, get any amount of goals necessary, keep a clean sheet if possible, which they did, and win it by a final of 4-0. Unbelievable job by the New York Red Bulls. And now we will now discuss these next bunch of games starting on Sunday, October the 29th. The Vancouver Whitecaps will be hosting the Seattle Sounders at BC Place, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific, and that'll be on ESPN. The Fox Sports 1 doubleheader at 7 o'clock Eastern, New York Red Bulls hosting Toronto FC at Red Bull Arena at 7 o'clock Eastern, then Houston Dynamo hosting the Portland Timbers at 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central. And once again, those two games on Monday will be on Fox Sports 1. And then on Tuesday, on Halloween night, the Columbus Crew will be hosting New York City FC at Mapfre Stadium, and that will be on ESPN as well. And then the semifinal second leg on Saturday. Actually, not Saturday, excuse me. Wednesday, November the 2nd, Seattle Sounders will be hosting the Vancouver Whitecaps, and that'll be at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Pacific. Excuse me, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Pacific. Seattle Sounders hosting Vancouver Whitecaps on Fox Sports 1. And then on Sunday, November the 5th, 3 o'clock Eastern, Toronto FC hosting the New York Red Bulls on ESPN. And then the second games. Other second legs, it will be New York City FC hosting the Columbus Crew at Yankee Stadium, and then Portland Timbers hosting the Houston Dynamo. Both of those times are to be determined. And then we have the first leg of the conference finals. Obviously, the East Conference Final will be on November the 21st, and I believe that is a Tuesday night, I believe it is, 8 o'clock for the first leg on the East, 10 o'clock for the second leg in the West, and the 8 o'clock game will be on ESPN and the 10 o'clock game on Fox Sports 1. Then on November the 28th, Tuesday, on Fox Sports 1, second leg of the
Eastern Conference Final. And then on the 30th of November, Thursday night at 10 o'clock Eastern, the second leg of the Western Conference Final. And then MLS Cup Final will be on Saturday, December the 9th at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be interesting. And once again, the only way the New York Red Bulls are going to host the final is if the Houston Dynamo runs the gambit. They got to run the table. And if they run the table and do the job, the New York Red Bulls will be, and if the Red Bulls also do the job, they'll be hosting the MLS Cup Final at Red Bull Arena. So we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen there, because we've got semifinals going on these next 3 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, the first legs of these conference semifinal matches. So it should be a lot of fun. It should be exciting. I personally cannot wait. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it for this wild card review show here on the 40 Scenes Fire American Soccer Show. Joining me once again, I want to thank my guests, Alex Stenick, who is part of the Massive Report podcast, and Miss Alicia Tolar, managing editor of DynamoTheory.com, my SB Nation colleagues. Join me this coming Wednesday for first leg semifinal, conference semifinal review of the first leg this coming Wednesday night as we talk about those games in MLS Cup playoffs. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening to me tonight. And as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Have a good night, everyone. Take care. Talk to you next time. And bye-bye for now.